This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, please. Book of Revelation, chapter number 12. We're going to look at verse number 9, verse number 10, and verse number 11. The book of Revelation, we'll look at chapter number 12 this morning. I want to talk to you for just a second on the first tactic of the enemy, and that is Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter number 8, and verse number 44, He said, "You are of your father the devil, and he was a liar from the beginning." Chapter number 12 of the book of Revelation is where we're going to read from this morning. And in verse number 9, I want to draw your attention. What's happening here is we're in the tribulation time. We're at the end of the tribulation. And what's happening is happening in the heavens. It's happening in the sky. And there is a war that's taken place between Michael and between Satan. And let me jog your thoughts. You do understand that this same battle was taking place in the book of Daniel, chapter number 10. And the war in heaven between Michael the archangel and between the devil and his angels has been happening ever since 1948. You've got to understand, or 1948. Because whenever you see Michael battling and the devil battling, they are always battling over top of the nation of Israel. Remember, who was it that saw Michael and Satan battling? That was Daniel, who was the prophet that was talking about the future restoration of the nation of Israel. In 1948, when the land of Israel became a capital, or became a nation. I'm doing the math in my head right now, and I'm making sure that I'm right. May the 17th, 1948. Why am I doubting that that's when it became a nation? That is when it, somebody Google that and tell me when is, that's correct. Thank you, John. It was 1948, May the 17th, 1948. I do not know why I am doubting that, but that's what happened, and it becomes a nation. There was a battle that took place on the earth. And that was when the Arab nations came against this brand new baby, this baby nation. But there was also a war that began in the heavens again, and that was among Michael and the demons of hell. Now that's what's happening in Revelation chapter number 12, and we're not talking about that, but I want you to notice how the Bible describes Satan. The Bible describes Satan in chapter number 12, verse number 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." Watch this next phrase and read it out loud with me. "Which deceiveth the whole world." Now you need to underline that phrase there. He deceiveth. Who does he deceive? The whole world. You see, the devil himself, Satan, doesn't just lie to the believer, he lies to the non-believer. He doesn't just lie to the sinner, he lies to the saint. If you are breathing air this morning, then the devil is in your ear right now through the demons of hell, trying to lie to you in some way, shape, form, and fashion. I was praying the other day, I was thinking about moving into the new year, I was thinking about beginning to preach again this year, and I was praying, I said, "Lord, I need to know, in what direction do you want me to walk in with these people? What do I lead them in? Do I just kindly listen to you every week? What do I do?" And as clear as I can hear it, I heard the Holy Spirit begin to deal with my heart about Satan is. And this morning, we've got to understand, our adversary is not another brother or sister. Our adversary is not another church. Our adversary is not somebody that's in the pew across from you. It's not a family member that is a believer. Our adversary is not the Arab. It's not the Muslim. It's not the Roman Catholic. At the end of the day, our adversary is the devil, and he will use all of those different things to come at you. But you've got to focus your attention, Because if you fight the Catholics, you'll miss the Muslim. If you fight the Muslim, you'll miss your mama. You fight your mama, you'll miss your daddy. You fight your daddy, you'll miss your cousin. You fight your cousin, you'll miss your second cousin. If you aim your guns at the wrong thing, we will miss and not ever find out that our real enemy is the devil himself. Brothers and sisters, the reason that so many of us get so messed up in this Christian walk, the reason that so many people never get saved, is because they don't understand the tactic of the devil. We know his titles. We know he's called the devil. We know he's called Satan. We know he's called Lucifer. We know he's called the son of the morning. We know that he's called that bright shining star. We know all of that. But it's not enough to know the title of somebody. You've got to know how they operate. And I'm telling you, we are so ignorant, in my spirit I know I am, that we don't comprehend how easily and readily we are attacked by our adversary, the devil. And I want to show you this morning, by the help of God, I do this with humility of heart, knowing that I am but a man, but I do it with courage in my heart, because I know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I also do it with fear in my heart, because you need to understand, the devil does not like operating out in the light. He loves operating in the shadows. He loves operating in your marriage when you don't know it's him that's operating. He loves operating in your mind when you don't know it's him that's making you depressed. He loves operating among your kids when you just think your kids are acting like hoodlums and acting like a bunch of fools, and you don't know that the devil has grabbed a hold of their shoulders and is skirting them in this direction and that direction. He loves operating in the dark. But the moment that you expose the lies and the tricks of the devil, he will begin to rage that much harder against you and I. But here's what I'm showing and seeing this morning, that John the Beloved is the one that wrote about it in the book of Revelation. Am I right about it? It was John the Revelator. Who else wrote about the fact that the devil was a liar? It was in John chapter number 8, verse number 44, where it says he's a liar from the beginning. Well, John wrote Revelation. Who wrote the book of John? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me in the morning time. Who wrote the book of John, beloved? So John is the one that wrote the most about the fact that the devil is a liar. Therefore, we need to surmise something about that. John had no doubt dealt with the lies of the devil more than anybody else. And what do we know about John? We know that John is the disciple that loved the Lord Jesus, and he was the disciple that laid down upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus. Here is the lesson you've got to learn. The closer you try to get to Jesus, the more the devil will try to lie to you. The closer you try to draw to the Lord Jesus, the more you're going to deal with the lies, and you need to make sure that you're able to expose the lies of your adversary, the devil. I'm going to give you three things this morning. I want you to take out your pen. I want you to take out your phone. If you need to take pictures of what I'm going to put up there on the screen, you take pictures. You do whatever you have to do that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will expose the lies and the liar that the devil is. Number one, let me show you the liar that he is. You've got to understand, there is not one thing about the devil that is honest. There is not one thing about the adversary that is honest. There is nothing that's ever come out of the devil's mouth, the devil's ways, or the devil's place that is honest. Notice what it says in verse number 9. Watch what it says. It is the devil and Satan which does what? Deceiveth the whole world. I'm going to put a definition up on the screen of the Greek word that goes behind the word deceiveth. Now, here is the definition. The word deceiveth, it is the Greek word planao. You all don't get impressed when I use my Greek words. You didn't do it when I was preaching in November. You don't get impressed now, so I don't even tell it to you anymore. But you may be impressed with the definition, because the word deceiveth, it means to lead astray or to cause to wander. You've got to get that in mind. To lead astray and cause to wander. Now, here is what you've got to put in your vernacular. Put inside of your spirit. Have you ever in your life, though you tried to walk with the Lord, have you ever felt in your spirit, in your marriage, or in your home, like you are just wandering around, going nowhere? Have you ever just felt like at your job, I heard from God. I know the Lord spoke to my heart. I know I felt His word. I know I got that word from God. And you felt like I heard it. But now all of a sudden, you feel like you're just doing this number. Let's go back 2,000 years from the time that John the Beloved wrote. Let's go down to this place called Kadesh Barnea. Let's go down to where the children of Israel are parked and Moses sends in the spies into Canaan land. God says, I'm going to give you that land, but I want you to go in and I want you to get the fruit and I want you to bring the fruit back out. And they go in, they get the fruit, they bring it back out. But somewhere between getting the fruit and bringing it back out, the demons and devils of hell began to whisper in their ears, they're too big. You can't conquer them. You'll never defeat them. God's going to fail you. He's brought you all the way down from Egypt to beat you here at Kadesh Barnea. You go in there, you'll never make it out. You're never going to inhabit the land. So they come out and they say, oh boy, the fruit is good and the land is beautiful, but there are giants in the land and we will never ever beat them. And what happens to them for the next 40 years of their existence? What do? They wander around in the wilderness. Here's my point, brothers and sisters. Our God is a God of direction, and our God is a God of destination. God will give you the direction to walk in. He will tell you what He wants you to do, but though He may not tell you how He's going to bring it to pass. And here's what happens. When we get that word, the very first thing that comes into our ear is the doubts and the lies of the devil. God puts that big dream inside of our heart, and we say, God, I know You're going to save my family. I know You're going to touch my home. I know You're going to bring that to pass. And you get that faith in your heart, and the devil begins to plant those things inside of you. And it says, you know that can't happen. You know that's never going to come to pass. You know that's really outside of the realm of possibility. And we begin to believe those lies of the devil. And in our spirit, we just end up. Now let me help some people in the church today. I love you all. You bless me every time I come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If I see you in revival, there are people that have come here. You've been out of church for some time and you've come back. Some of you, your church folded and you ended up coming here. God bless you. And you know God put it in your heart, but you're struggling so hard. Is this the place I need to be? Is this the place I need to be? You're thinking about what is that person going to say? You're dealing with what that's going to happen over there. What's going to happen over here? Here's what you've got to understand. Are you wandering around? Do you feel like I'm not really doing anything? I'm just wandering in the wilderness. I'm just kind of going through. I don't know whether to come. I don't know whether to go. I don't know what weighs up and I don't know what weighs down. Here's my question, brothers and sisters. Who do you think it is that is making you wander in the wilderness? It's the devil and his lies. God is a God of direction and destination. Tyler, preach! If God tells me to preach, guess what I've got to do? Now that's easy to say, 34 years old sitting in a church. When you're 18 years old, nobody knows your name. You don't have a preacher in your family and nobody's giving you a pulpit. It's awful easy to start listening to the lies of the devil. Are you wandering around? Then at some point in your journey, God has given you a direction and you have chosen to walk in the lies of the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. Let me show you number two. Not just the liar that he is, but let me show you number two, the lies that he tells. I have prayed over this point all week long. I have said, God, I am begging You in the name of Jesus Christ, would You use what I'm going to say to open up the hearts of the people and expose His lies in your life? Because if you are sitting here today, whether you are a sinner, Whether you are a saint, whether you are a believer, whether you are an unbeliever, whether you believe in God, whether you don't believe in God, whether you're a theist, whether you're an atheist, whether you know there's a God in heaven, or whether you think we all just fuzzed out of a bunch of puddle of ooze, it doesn't matter. What does the Scripture say? He says, He deceiveth the whole world. You have been lied to. Let me give you, if I can, I'm going to have Kim put them up on the screen, and maybe God will open up your heart. Let me give you the three lies, because some of you have walked in these lies, and some of you are walking in these lies today. Holy Ghost of God, I'm begging you to uncover their heart and mind. Here are the three lies that the devil will tell to a sinner. Number one, the first thing he'll tell to a sinner when God begins to convict that sinner about his need of Christ, this is what he'll say. Number one, he'll say, you are good enough to go to heaven. The very first thing when the Holy Ghost begins to convict your heart, something will come over you and you'll say something to the effect of, I'm not that bad off. I'm not that bad of a sinner. I'm not that bad of a person. You know, there are people that are worse than me. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the sneaky lies of the devil. He will come against you and he will tell you all types of things, anything to get your mind. May I repeat, let me say it as loud as I possibly can on a Sunday morning in January. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. You can't earn enough stripes on your belt. You can't be baptized enough. You can't give enough dollars and cents and millions in order to go to heaven. It's a place that does not have a credit card machine and there are no ATM machines. It does not. It takes a whole lot more than our good words. But the devil will tell you, as this preacher, you'll say, look at that stupid blue suit he's saying. He can't possibly know anything about being good enough or bad enough to go to heaven. He doesn't even have any fashion sense. Mason told me I look ugly this morning, Denise. I do too. That's why I bought it. I said, son, I said, do you like my suit? He said, it's ugly. And I can get Ella to, if you need reassurance in your confidence, don't ask Mason. If you want reassurance, you ask Ella Faith. I said, baby, I said, your brother said I was ugly. You know what that little thug said, Joshua? She shrugs her shoulders. She goes, I can't help it. But you hear me, and you hear me well. I may not know anything about fashion sense, and I may not know anything about politics, but I know what the Bible says about heaven, and you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. There is but one way, and that is the Jesus way. You cannot, should not believe the lie of the devil. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. There's a second lie he'll tell you, and this may be where some of you are sitting this morning. The second lie, he'll come up to a sinner and he'll say, as that preacher's preaching, he'll say, you're too bad to go to heaven. He'll come up to your soul as the preacher's preaching, talking about the love of God, talking about the love of the Holy Spirit, talking about the forgiveness of heaven, talking about the grace of God, talking about the blood of Jesus, talking about how it can cleanse any sin, wash any sinner, forgive any sinner, and the devil will whisper in your ear, yeah, but he doesn't know you. Isn't it amazing how the devil never one time steps on the truth? The moment you feel you're too good, he says, yeah, that's right, and then you're too bad. But the moment you feel too bad, you forget how good God really is. You see how he lies? Right now, he's whispering in your ear. He's saying, don't you believe him. He's a liar. Here's the third truth that he's popping up in this last day. This is one that I'm hearing more recently. I'd not heard it up until about a couple of years ago. Here's the third lie that he tells, and I'm sure some of this will absolutely bless you. Here's the third one. It's the lie, God will accept you just like you are. Now, don't you dare think that I'm telling you you've got to change in order to get to God, but I am telling you when you get to God, you will change. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter number 2, they said, sir, what must we do to be born again? He said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a group of people that are coming up and they're saying, we'll live how we want to, we'll live like we want to, and God still loves us and we're still good to go with Him. That is not what the Bible says. You're saying, I got to quit drinking to come to Jesus? I didn't say that. That's not what I said. What I said is, I promise you, you come to God like you are, and He will change you. But He comes, and now you have a generation of preachers and a generation of Christians that are rising up, and they're saying, repentance, it's 2020. There's no need. That Bible's outdated. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to. You just be what you are, and God will love you. You be what you are, and God will take care of you. Yes, He will take care of you, but sadly, it will be at the lake of fire as He casts that unregenerate soul into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever and ever for all of eternity. Why do you think if you were good enough and if I was good enough to just be accepted like we are, do you think the darling Son of Heaven would come off of the throne of glory, dance down across the golden streets, come out of the ivory palaces of glory, condescend down to man, die a sinner's death, be buried in a sinner's tomb? Do you think He would do that if we would be accepted like we are? We need Christ. Oh, but how you, man, lies. So for those of you that need the truth this morning, let me give it to you oh so simply. How can I be saved, preacher? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do I have to do? Bow your head in humility and say, God, I was wrong. You're right. And ye shall be saved. But you know, it doesn't just lie to sinners. In fact, I'm finding the closer I get to God, the more He lies. I wish I could tell you I was spiritual enough to always know and discern the lies of the devil, but I'm not. I wish, honey, I could tell you every morning when I get up and I go in my office and pray and go on my prayer walk and study the Bible, I wish I could tell you every doubt that comes in my mind, I claim it and say it's a lie, but I don't. You see, the more I learn about the lies of Satan, the bigger the lies get. And I want to give you a few of the lies the devil tells us. And these are not all the lies the devil tells the saint, but I'm hoping by the power of the Holy Spirit that if I can show you some of the lies and how he operates, maybe it'll open up your heart and mind on maybe where he's lying to you. Let me give you just a sampling. This is Sam's Club. I'm not buying the thing. I'm just giving you some samples this morning of some of the lies of the devil that he tells the saints. Are you ready for the first lie? Here's the first lie he tells. Here it is. You're the only one struggling with this. He'll come upon you. You have a doubt. You have a confusion. You have a struggle. You have an anxiety. You have a depression. You have a problem. You have an issue. And you get help. Some preacher will preach. Some preacher will talk. And the devil comes into your ear. And he says, you better not do a thing about that. You're the only one that's bothered with that. You know you're the only Christian in this room that battles with doubt. You know you're the only Christian in here that doesn't pray like they ought to. Ma'am, you know you're the only one in here that doesn't know how to be a godly wife. You know, sir, you're the only one in here that struggles with being a husband that honors Christ. Sir, you know you're the only one in this entire building that hollered at his family on the way to church. Lie. Isn't it amazing how he lies? He tells you you're the only one that struggles. Some of you right now, you struggle in silence because you're so afraid that if you come to the altar or lay it down before God or ask another older saint how to get help, what they'll think about you. Can I tell you what they'll think about you? The Lord Jesus said it according to the Apostle Paul. He said, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You've not dealt with one thing somebody in this room has not already dealt with or is currently dealing with right now. Got single mamas in this room and you want to kill every one of your youngins. Somebody's been there. You ain't a single mama. There are people here this morning, and you were so tired this morning. You didn't get a chance to get up and read your Bible. You didn't get a chance to get up and pray. And the whole way to church, the devil told you how sorry you were. You're the only one. Didn't even have time. Psh. He's a liar. Here's the second lie that the devil will tell people. You ready for this one? This is one I'm afraid too many of us are dealing with. Here's the second thing he'll tell you. He'll say that last sin was the final straw. That last mess up, that was it. Sir, that last thing you looked at on the internet, God is done with you. And I'll tell you what he gets really good at. He gets good at masking his voice as if it is the voice of God. He'll come upon you, you do something, and he'll say, I'm done with you. And that doubt rises up in your soul. God, my Father, are you really done with me? I'm done. I'm through with you. He's a liar. You know what the Bible says? He says, my mercy endureth to thousands and thousands of generations. He said, it endureth forever. There is no end. Can I ask you a question? Why would God cast you off when he already crucified his son for what you just did? Amen. He's already abandoned his son at Calvary. Why would he abandon you? Oh, but the devil, isn't he a sneaky little liar? You know, he never says it loud enough where anybody else can hear it, because he knows if I hear it, or the Word of God hears it, or the Holy Ghost hears it, he'll rise up and say, liar! Here's a third lie he'll give you. Oh, man. Here's a third lie he'll give you. He said, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. Your marriage isn't making you happy. God wants you to be happy. Going to church and make... God wants you to be happy. It's okay. That woman, that man, they fulfill you. They make you feel important. God wants you to feel that way. God does not. Hear me. God doesn't want us to be happy. God wants us to be holy. And I'm finding the holier we get, the happier we get. It's okay to mess with that woman. It's okay to mess with that man. God wants you to be happy. It's okay. That relationship, just a drink, it makes you happy. It takes the edge off. So does prayer. But the devil knows that. Am I cooking any grits this morning? Isn't he a liar? Isn't he a liar? Here's the fourth lie. Oh, Lord. I'm going to park on this one because I can tell some of you right here on this fourth lie. Here's the fourth lie. He'll tell you this is never going to end. It's going to be this way for the rest of your life. You're never going to beat it. You're never going to get over it. You're never going to get past it. It's never going to get better. They're never going to be happy. You're never going to satisfy. You'll never, ever, ever, never. It's always going to be this way. He's a liar. He's a liar. You say, how do you know he's a liar? How many of you are not going to die? It will end one day. It's going to end. But the devil knows, if I can keep them thinking it never ends, I can take their hope. Let me give you something right quickly. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 8, verse 32. You've all heard this verse. You know this verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me give you the freedom that the truth of God's word brings. Let me encourage you this morning. I want you to know something. There are four questions that you can ask and answer, and I'm going to put them all up on the screen. How do you discern the lies of the devil? How do you discern whether or not the devil is lying to you or whether or not it is the truth of God's word? Here's what you've got. There are four questions. I'm just going to stick them all up there on the screen, and I hope that they help you. Kim, just go ahead and let's put them all up there on the screen, all right? Here's the question you have to ask. How do you determine whether or not something is the truth or if it is a lie? Number one, this is the question you ask. Does it diminish God's ability? Does it diminish God's ability? Now, let me put this down in shoe leather. There are so many times God will put something inside of your heart and He'll tell you, I'm going to bring this to pass. And you begin to think, that can't happen. That's impossible. That's never going to happen. That's never going to change. That's never going to go that way. It'll never be this. I deal with pastors and I get to talk to pastors and I get to pray with pastors. And they say, I just don't think my church will ever change. I don't think my ministry will ever change. And here's the question I ask. I said, can I ask you a question? Name one thing God cannot do. And so I ask that to you this morning. If the devil is discouraging you, and if the devil's tearing you down, and he's lying to you, you ask this question. Does it diminish God's power? Is what the devil is telling me make me think that God is impossibly able or incapable of doing anything? Let me give you a logical example. You've got a husband that has not been saved, a wife that has not been saved, a child that has not been saved, and you're praying, and you're begging God, and you're begging God, and that doubt rises up inside of you, and it says that'll never happen. They'll never be saved. They'll never be helped. They'll never be changed. May I ask you a question? Is that person going to be the first person that God cannot save? The answer to that is absolutely, positively no. God can save anybody that He wants to save. Therefore, you know that what you've just been fed is a lie from the devil. Number two, does it diminish God's holiness? It's a simple question to ask. If I do something, or if the devil tells me, God, it's okay to do, and you name it, and you think, is that okay? Here's a question to ask. Does that make God like me? Or does that make me more like God? I promise you, cheating on your spouse is not going to make you more like God. We can go ahead and put it down in shoe leather, keeping your kids out of church, letting them miss this and letting them do that, let them go here. That is not going to make them more like, but they're going to be happy. Yeah, they're going to be happy as they walk away from God until the day comes when they need God and they can't find God because you let them walk away from God. You've got to discern the lies of the devil by saying, does it diminish God's holiness? I can tell y'all are eating that part up. I think I might want to crank on that tractor just a little bit more. Let me give you number three. The third question you'd ask, does it diminish God's graciousness? Time. When the devil tells you you've crossed the line with God, you need to ask the question to the devil, when did God run out of grace? You're not going to be forgiven of that anymore. Really? Did His cup run out of mercy during the night and I didn't see it? Because the Bible says His mercy endureth forever. Bob, how many times have I messed up and something inside of me says that was it? That's a lie from the devil. Here's the fourth. And then I'm going to tell you a story that I heard. Here's the fourth question. Does the thing you were just told diminish the faithfulness of God? Tonight, when everybody's gone, and you're all by yourself, and the devil tells you, nobody knows what you're feeling. Nobody cares how you feel right now. Nobody's with you. Here's the question you ask. When did God stop being faithful? When did God stop being faithful? Scott, come help me. I want to tell a story. I love old people stories, probably because I'm getting closer to their age. Secondly, because I'm starting to take some of their medicine. And thirdly, because I enjoy eating at their restaurants. I heard a story about an old man the other day. And at 90 years old, he still cleaned the lion cage at the city zoo. Still went to work every day and cleaned the lion cage at the city zoo. He went in and there was a brand new worker, little Doug, at the zoo. Brand new guy, first day. The old man comes in, he hobbles in, dragging his legs, dragging his back, just he goes into the lion cage with a bucket and a broom. And he starts sweeping the lion cage up. And here comes that lion. And he starts roaring and pawing. I mean, and the young guy is over at the door. He's shaking. That old man just keeps on raking, Bob. And the young man thinks he's got to be deaf. He cannot hear that lion roaring at him. That lion just keeps on roaring, just keeps on going. And the man just keeps on sweeping. Finally, the man leaves and goes out. And the young man has got sweat rolling down his face. Old man, cool as a cucumber. No issue, just slick as he can be, Joshua. He comes out and that young man says, "You know you almost died." The old man said, "He said, I didn't almost die." He said, "Yes, you did." He said, "That lion was so close to you." He said, "Worried about that lion." The man said, "What do you mean you're not worried about that lion?" That old man said, "I ain't worried about that lion." The young man said, "That lion could have ripped you in 1,000 different pieces." And that old man said, "I ain't worried about that lion." That young man said, "He could have torn you in 1,000 directions." And the old man kept saying, "I ain't worried about that lion." And he walked off. The young man went back to the office, went to the PR, human resources. And the story says that in the human resource office that the young man, Brenda, told the boss, he said, "You need to fire that man. He has Alzheimer's and he's crazy." The HR manager said, "What do you mean? He said, "He got in that cage with that lion. And he wasn't worried at all." Here's what the HR man, he said, "Hi, we ain't worried about that lion." The young man said, "Stop, time. Tell me why you are not worried about that lion." He said, "Two reasons. Number one, he's old. And number two, he ain't got no teeth." HR manager said this. He said, "All he can do is roar." On top of bloody Calvary, three crosses hung on a hill, the one in the center was the darling Son of God. And on top of bloody Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took his foot and stomped the head of the serpent. He took his hand, reached into the mouth of the lion and ripped out every tooth in his head. Reached down to the paw of the bear and declawed every claw inside of his paw. And so now the only thing the devil can do to you is lie. Because he has no power over the people of God. He's just a toothless old man with no power. So here is the prayer that you pray on this altar at the invitation. Here it is. Lord, give me wisdom and insight to discern and answer the lies of God.